Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you've come to worship this morning, whether it in person or online. If you will go to westminsterpca.net, you can see our bulletin there, as well as some links and some other announcements that I won't mention here this morning. We've got just a few things going on. The Sumter Pregnancy Center, we typically do our baby bottle boomerang. Well, that's going to be virtual this year because we can't pass out baby bottles to everybody. So if you will check the Westminster website, you can see the link there to donate online or mail checks directly to Sumter Pregnancy Center. Also, we've got a summer restore project coming up. This is going to be, I believe, the week after this coming week. There will be some training next Sunday. If you are interested in that or would like more information, you can contact the church office or David Pritchard, and they can get you some more information on that as well. We're so glad you've come to worship with us this morning. If you will, take a moment and prepare your hearts for worship.
Good morning. Welcome to Westminster. I'm Nathan Thomas, the youth pastor here. And let us turn to worship as the Lord calls us to worship. Let us go ahead and stand together and say aloud Psalm 95, the first two verses. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
Thank you.
Early in the church, there's a lot of misunderstanding as to what Christians believe. And so the church gathered together and they wrote this creed, and has been a part of worship for the church for nearly 2,000 years. And so let us confess with the saints of old and the saints of today and the churches across the world what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let us continue to worship through singing.
Thank you.
Please have a seat. It is my blessing today to pray during this time of prayer, which I guess is a redundancy, but it is a joy and a blessing nonetheless. So let's turn our hearts to prayer, and we will end the prayer with the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how marvelous are you, for your name is holy. You are righteous, you are merciful, you are just, you are kind and compassionate. Lord, you are the reason we are here. You are the reason we worship. And I pray this morning that our hearts worship well, and that we find great joy in singing the praises of your name. Lord, we pray for the ministry of this church. We pray for Cheryl in her ministry with the children. We think of thanks for our Sunday school teachers that you have provided, who have put together packets or working on Sunday school materials, so that our covenant children can grow in their faith. We give thanks, Lord, for the opportunities with the churches around town. Thank you for our relationship with Jehovah's Missionary Baptist and Holy Comforter, and the times we gather, and the times we can pray, and the times we can sing together and worship you. And we want to pray specifically for Alice Drive Baptist. Pray for their ministry. Give them wisdom as they navigate the pandemic and how to minister to their flock to continue their outreach with the gospel to Sumter. Lord, our community has been greatly blessed by that church, and I pray that we, Sumter, may continue to be blessed. Pray specifically for Clay. As he pastors, give him rest, give him diligence. We also pray for the Sumter Pregnancy Center. Lord, as they begin their fundraising with their baby bottle boomerang, I ask that the community has a heart of giving. Lord, I pray that they are well funded so they can continue to do the ministry that you have given them. I pray for Kristen and the work that she does. I ask, Father, that you sustain her, that she has great joy in the ministry that you have provided, and I ask that she not wear thin, but has great fervor in the work that you have given. Lord, we ask for your blessings. We pray for the churches in our presbytery. Lord, we met this week. We give thanks for the ordination, for Zach passing his ordination and his call to Sardinia. Thank you for providing for them. And I ask that you bless Zach as he moves and he begins his ministry. But we also want to pray specifically for Mullins Presbyterian. Pray for Pastor Jason Brewer as he looks to minister to his church. Lord, I pray for the session that they may support the pastor, that they are excited about serving others and excited to shepherd. Give them great joy. And Lord, when ministry gets tough and difficult, I ask that Jason may find rest in you. And we pray for our own pastor. We pray for Stuart as he's on sabbatical. We ask, Lord, that it is a good time, that his needs are met, and that is fulfilling. Pray this morning. I pray for my sermon. Lord, I ask that it not be my words, but yours. And I pray for our congregation that today they may find rest from the weariness of the world. And Lord, as we close, we're going to pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right, still me. Going to keep going. Our passage this morning is in 1 Thessalonians 5 from chapter verse 17. It is a short verse. It's probably easier to memorize the verse than it is to memorize the location. This is already up. As you can see, the verse is, pray without ceasing. So we're going to be discussing prayer this morning. But again, in 1 Thessalonians 5, the verse that's going to launch us into the sermon is very simple and very straightforward. It's Paul exhorting this church that's been a faithful church, a good church. And he ends with this little command in the midst of several others. And it's simply, pray without ceasing. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word, not ours. And I ask that we are blessed by it. And Father, if I speak anything false or untrue, I ask that it may fall upon deaf ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been obviously going through a pandemic, and we've found different ways to navigate this. One of the ways that helped me, especially during quarantine or during the lockdown, was I got back into video games. Now, if you ask the youth, they thought for the years that all I do is play video games, then Wednesday night just show up, teach, and then go back to playing video games. And that wasn't true. But when it was the home or work order, it was just started firing up the Xbox again and really got back into video games. And what was helpful, and I could even call it work, is that a lot of the guys also play video games. So I started playing video games with them. And that was great. There's one thing, though. They are much better at the games than I am. And so generally, we've been playing this one game where you just kind of drop out of a ship, pick up some guns, and then you go find some people to fight. They're much better at that than I am. I know it sounds simple, but I got really confused, and I still kind of do. And they move a lot quicker than I do. So everybody's in teams of three. We'll drop down. Two of the youth will grab their guns and go. I'm still trying to figure out where I am on the map, and they'll find a fight, and they start talking, which is good. Communication is good. And then all of a sudden, though, they're outnumbered because one person's lagging behind, that person being me. And so all of a sudden, I hear, help, help, help. He's won, meaning it only takes one more shot to take the person down. Help. And I'm across on the other side of the map. Our youth, when they play with me, they're kind and generous, but they are generally at a disadvantage. So their cries for help generally fall upon deaf ears. Well, not deaf ears, but it's to a person who can't help them out. And that's unfortunate, because then we generally lose. But sometimes prayer is kind of like this. We get into trouble, and then all of a sudden we start praying, help, help, help. Fortunately for us, y'all aren't praying to me, or if you are, that's a very big problem. But fortunately, we're praying to a God who hears our pleas. But other than just waiting until we are in trouble, which when we are, it is good to pray. What we see from Paul when he says pray without ceasing is that prayer is essential to the Christian life. Prayer is necessary. Prayer should be a part of who we are. I mean, our lives, as Paul writes, it should be full of prayer. It should never be far from our lips. It should be a close thing that we hold dear. We need to be encouraged. There's a lot to prayer, but prayer is a gift to God's people. And so, it's because it's a gift, we want to partake in this gift. It's a call to the church to pray to God. It's a call to individuals, and it's a call to us as a corporate body to pray. And we do this because the Lord desires it, because He has this desire of us. So even in uncertain times, we can be certain of our calling to pray. Even in uncertain times, we can be certain of our calling to pray to God. So, if we're going to talk about prayer, we're going to have to actually break down what prayer is. It can be confusing, like, what exactly am I doing during prayer? Do I need to do the right structure? Do I need to say the Lord's Prayer every single time? Can I pray wrongly? That's a good question to ask. Is there a wrong way to pray? And if there is a wrong way to pray, what happens if I pray wrongly? So this morning we're going to talk about what prayer is. And I'm going to be straightforward. I pulled a lot of my sermon from Richard Pratt Jr.'s book, Pray With Your Eyes Open. So I'm not going to claim credit for a lot of what I'm going to say. If you're interested in prayer, if you want to go into this fuller, it is a great book to check out. It's easy to read. It's easy for groups to do. We went through it with the youth last year, and I think it was incredibly helpful. But Richard Pratt Jr., he breaks down prayer as this. Prayer is simply a believer's communication with God. Again, I say, prayer is simply the believer's communication with God. So in this definition, there are simple three elements. There are believers, there's the communication, and there's God. Now, we as believers need to remember that prayer is a gift to His people. It's a gift to God's children. Because if we don't remember this, if we don't remember that it's for us, right? If we forget that it's for His people, we can start to feel like prayer doesn't have anything to do with real life. We'll go about our lives and then all of a sudden be like, oh, wait, nope, haven't been praying. I'm going to stop, pray. All right, now I'm going to keep going. But if we remember what God has done for us, if we remember that God has brought us together, prayer becomes infinitely more important. I mean, God has made us family, right? He calls us brothers and sisters. Right? I look upon the youth, they're as my younger brothers and sisters. Because we're united in Christ. And that's mind-blowing, because just think about the diversity that is united in Christ. Think about how we've been able to connect with Jehovah's Missionary Baptist and Holy Comforter. How it's brought together in Christ. Different theological backgrounds, but a unity that is made deep by the love of Jesus. And it's not just local. Like, we're united with the Coptic Christians in Africa, the Chinese believers who are being oppressed by a government. The Syrian church in India, those are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're there because we are united by salvation. We're united with the saints that have gone before us, the labors of the apostles, the boldness. We can look to Peter and Paul and John and be like, that's our older brother. That is a saint who has gone before us. We can look at the fervor of the church fathers who pushed away apostasy and pushed away heresy and say, That's our family. Believers are united in Christ, and Christ has united people across all cultures and eras. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and saints, members of the household of God." We are in the household of God. We are people united in Christ. We are adopted into a family. And that's an amazing blessing. And that should bring us to prayer. Because we have tasted in the salvation and realized how good it is. But we also know that we haven't received the fullness of that blessing. There's a tension. There's a problem because we're still in a sinful world. We are still sinful. We are still waiting for the full redemption, for the full resurrection, for eternal glory. And so there are times in which sadness takes us. As Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, there is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. The Bible pulls no punches. It lets us know that there are times in which we are going to mourn. There are times in which we are going to weep. And so we sit here, blessed, but with the tension of waiting for the full blessing. And this is where prayer comes in, because prayer allows believers to fully open their hearts. Prayer gives us an outlet to fully open our hearts. And so when we pray, when we go before the Lord, we need to be able to sit in that tension. We need to realize that we're blessed by God, but not yet fully glorified. And you see this all over the Psalms. Some Psalms, they start out, "My life is terrible, but you are great." Other psalms are just pure joy. Look at Psalm 150. Psalm 150 uses the word praise 12 times in 6 verses. I mean, if that psalmist was a worship leader now, he would bring all the instruments on the stage, right? He would have the choir. He would have the guitar. He would have the piano. He would have the organ. He would have the drum set. He would have the ukulele, the kazoo. He's the kind of guy that if you walked up and you're like, "So I've been practicing my theremin," he's like, "Oh, thank you. We've been needing a theremin up in worship." This is the kind, like, he's all about the joy, all about the praise, and all about the worship. But there's also psalms that are dark. Psalm 88 begins with, "O Lord, of God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you." That's an ominous beginning. When you cry out, usually when you hear "I cry out" is because of anguish. And Psalm 88 ends with this: "You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness." That's not an ending of hope. That's mourning. That's weeping. That is sadness and loneliness. The Psalms are honest, and they are yet a part of worship. And our prayers should reflect that. Parents, think about this. Think about your children. When you talk with your children, you want to know what's going on in their lives. You want them to tell you everything. You care. You want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I work with teenagers. They don't really want to divulge the good, the bad, and the ugly. But as parents, you know that longing. You want to hear about your children's hopes and their fears. Likewise, when Christ brought us in and we are adopted, we have a father to go to spill out our hopes and our fears in prayer. Not only that, he gives us the Spirit to help us. Romans 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit works with our spirit to go before the Lord. And we are aided. So as children, we need to lay bare our expectations, our hopes, our joys and fears, gladness and disappointments. We need to sit in that tension and bring it to the Lord in prayer because we are his children and the Father wants to hear from his children. So now that we've talked about who we are in communicating with God, we need to actually discuss the communication itself. Now it's interesting when kids come into youth, they seem most nervous when it gets time to pray. Whether it's asking for prayer requests or asking them to pray, especially if they're new to youth, they do not speak very much. Now, I'm not sure why that is. I haven't really done a deep dive with this. I don't know if it's they're nervous because they're in front of a new crowd or they're friends and they don't want to be vulnerable. Or maybe they're nervous because they're praying in front of a God who is eternal, the Alpha and Omega, and who places the planets in the orbits and provides shelter for the mouse, and the God who holds all of creation in his hands. It could be one of those two things. I'm just not sure which one it is. Both can be pretty intimidating. And now, to be honest, when I preach, I actually get more nervous doing the pastoral prayer than I do preparing for the sermon. I don't know why that is, but that's just my own heart. So the question is, how do we pray? How and when should we pray? Because Paul says, pray without ceasing. Does that mean everything we say and do must be prayer? Is it how? But so how do we do it, and when do we do it? So if we're going to be honest, we need to figure out how to best be honest before the Lord. Do we need to follow structure, or can we just freestyle in our prayer? Well, we're going to look at structure in both freedom and prayer. Now, prayers with structure, they help us with good communication. Prayers with structure help us with good communication. We prayed the Lord's Prayer earlier this morning. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives this to his apostles because he's like, don't pray with empty phrases. Don't use filler words. Don't just, don't fill the gaps. Don't pray to be verbose. Don't pray to hear your own voice. But put thought in your prayers. So pray like this. So if we want prayer to be honest, we kind of need to cut the filler. We want to cut away the gaps, trim the fat, as it were. There's no need to hem and haw through a prayer. The Father already knows our needs. The Lord is not surprised by our prayer. And so we don't need to put in the fluff. Also, we want to remember in our prayers that God is our King. We want to give him honor. We want to take the time, make sure we are diligent to our Father, in whom we respect and fear. Now, I know there's a fear with this. There can be a fear that if we write out our prayers or if we just follow a form, they become empty. But that's not necessarily the case. If we are still diligent in our preparation. Like, I prepared this sermon. There are no surprises. I wrote this beforehand. I know that might be a surprise to some, but I did work on this sermon before I came here this morning. That doesn't make what I'm saying less genuine. It doesn't mean I care about it less. It just means I can focus on what I'm trying to say and trying to preach. Likewise, pre-writing prayers can help us focus our hearts. It helps us be diligent before the Lord. I mean, read the Psalms. They are incredibly well-structured. They have remarkable form and beauty in them. And they're also very honest. And so, yes, pre-written prayers, if you're not careful, if you're not diligent, they can be going through the motion. But if you thoughtfully work out your prayer before you bring it before the Lord, that is a good thing. But it's also helpful sometimes to just speak where we are. Because God also calls us to speak with freedom. The Lord calls us to speak with freedom. So, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, it starts, "Hallowed be thy name." All right, we want to approach God with as Father. That tells us we want to give respect and honor to our Father, but also God is family, and as family, we can be familiar. We can be comfortable. We can be honest, and we can be who we really are. And there are biblical examples of sort of prayer on the spot. My favorite is Nehemiah. Nehemiah is asking to go to Jerusalem, so he goes before the Persian emperor and says, and the Persian emperor asks, "What do you want?" Maybe not that sternly, but I mean, he's the emperor. I can't imagine he has a lot of time in his day. He's like, "What is your request?" And it says, Nehemiah prays. Now, Nehemiah didn't go before the emperor and ask, "What is your request?" And then they're like, "You know what? Let me go into my prayer closet. I'll come back out. Then I'll answer your question." No, he prays and then he responds. In a moment of probably high anxiety, Nehemiah turns in prayer. One of my favorite communications with God is his call to Jeremiah. He said it calls Jeremiah to ministry, and Jeremiah's like, "Right, too young to do that, sorry." And God's like, "Don't worry, I'll make sure you have the right words to say." And Jeremiah has no other. It's not a structured response to the Lord. His response is basically a flimsy excuse not to do the ministry he's called to. Speaking of the Lord, I mean, in spontaneity, just speaking, that frees us from falling into this mechanical talk. It lets us be open and can just let ourselves be bare without being conscientious of what we are saying. And it helps us be honest and true and straightforward. Now, it does come with its own drawbacks. If we're not careful, it has its own repetition and thoughtlessness. But it gives us a chance to be honest. And it lets us know that we can be anywhere at any time and we can turn to the Lord. Whether we are in church or even in the midst of sin, we can go to the Lord in prayer and ask and talk. So use both. Take time out of your day. Yeah, use both. Use both structured prayer, use form, and be spontaneous. Mix it up. Set your full heart on display. The other question is, when do we communicate? When do we pray? Again, Paul says, pray without ceasing. From that we can discern, prayer should never be far from a moment in time. Prayer should never be far from a moment in time. Communication with God should absolutely be one of the greatest priorities in our lives. Taking the time to pray, even moments to pray, should be close to our lips. It should be on our hearts. We need to both set aside time to pray in lengthy prayers, and we should set aside moments to pray spontaneously. I mean, look at Jesus. Jesus often set aside time to pray. He would say, Matthew 14 is a great example. He goes up to the mountain to pray. He leaves the apostles and says, I am going to spend time with pray. And then he comes back. And then he walks on water because it's amazing. But you see that in his life. He sets aside time. He leaves the apostles and says, I'll be back. Stay awake. I'm going to go pray. And he prays for so long that the apostles usually fall asleep. But Christ also prayed spontaneously. When there were 5,000 people to feed, it's like, just give me some bread. He gives thanks, and then the food is provided. Even on the cross, Jesus cries out to the Lord. Prayer should always be near. Now, many of you know I grew up in this church, and I'm actually still close friends with this guy named Charlie. He also grew up in this church, and we're close friends. We're like brothers. We set aside time every week to get together, and that's how my Mondays go. Staff meeting at noon. I have lunch with Charlie at 12:30, usually eating chicken wings. But we also get together randomly. Because we love each other. Because we're friends. If that's the love I have for a friend, a close friend, how much greater should my time be spent with the God who has saved me? It is good to set aside time, but it is also good to be spontaneous. So take time for both. Block out a time in your day to pray. If you're one of those really organized people who plan out their day, make sure you schedule time to pray during your day. Take time to shun the world and spend it with God. And when you have moments during the day, those moments in between, when you're driving from point A to point B, when you're going from one class to another, when you realize that you have a lot of anxiety at the moment, when you realize something's off, or when something's good, take a moment and pray. Find the moment. Seek opportunities to pray. Just take it. Just lay out your heart. Know that God is listening to your prayers. I mean, that's the last element of the definition. That's where we're heading to next. We need to remember that we are praying to the God in heaven. We must remember to whom we are praying. So, let's listen to how the Lord describes himself. In Colossians, Paul writes that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Psalm 148, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Isaiah 46, for I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. Romans 11, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. I mean, these are just six passages talking about who God is. And we read those and we see them stacked together, we begin to understand God is great. When we pray, our eyes and our hearts should look to God. Indeed, as we pray, we should be fascinated by the character of God. Our prayers should be fascinated by the character of God. Remember, Jesus is our salvation. And what that means is God loved us, Christ loved us, even when we rebelled against him. So even when we are staunch enemies of the Lord, Jesus loves his people. When we deserve his wrath, he shows us mercy. This is the God that loves us. And his character should be reflected in our prayers. And so pray with your hearts, your mind, your soul, your eyes focused on the Lord. And if you're using words that describe God and you find that they're becoming stale, like you're just saying them to say them, dwell on his character. Ponder, meditate. Take time to be amazed. Seek the wonder of who God is. And not only should we be fascinated by the character of God, we should be fascinated by the actions of God. Not just the character, but we should be fascinated by the actions of God. Dwell on what God has done, not just for you, but for his people. See his love through the Old Testament. See how he continued to keep his people even when they rebelled against him. See how he loved the apostles, how he gave them ministry and sustained them and gave them words to say when they were facing overwhelming odds. Read the stories of Christians who've come before. Talk to the generations in this church that have come before you and listen to their testimony. Reflect on how God has worked in your life. For a while, I was a part of a college ministry in Pennsylvania, RUF, and I had one student. We got together, and he lamented. Like he was distraught that he didn't live a life of rebellion. Like he wanted to be in some sort of biker gang and then have like some great conversion experience so that his testimony would be stronger. This is a young man who grew up in the church. So I asked him, I was like, well, when were you saved? He's like, fifth grade. I was like, okay. So what has God done in your life since then? He goes, nothing. It's like, that is absolutely not true. God doesn't just redeem and leave his people behind. And what happened after was a very long conversation. But he never taken the time to dwell how God continues to work in his life, how the Spirit continues to work in his life. So when we want to be fascinated by the actions of God, We need to remember that he's always with his people, and that the Spirit dwells within his people. Again, take time to meditate. What has God done in your life? How has he shown you his inscrutable ways? How has he shown you his mercy and his grace? When are times in which his creation has overwhelmed you with awe? God is always present with his people. Sometimes it's a very general sense. And that, yes, we know that God is always present. But there are also times in which it's a very real sense. We need to seek God. Dwell on his nature. Think about the ways that he has loved his people. And when we pray, we need to gaze at the throne of heaven. We should know to whom we are talking to. We should meditate on who God is and how he has loved us. So let's pray continually to the God who loves his children. In our dark times, let's pray. In our joys, let's pray. I mean, the desire of prayer should be in our hearts. It should be quick to our lips. It should be one of the biggest priorities in our lives. As God calls us to speak with him, to lay our hearts bare. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great blessing it is that we can come to you, that you have given us this gift. And I pray, Father, that we use this gift well. We use it with great joy, and that it is a part of our everyday lives, that it is a part of our every moment. I pray, Lord, that the prayer is not far from our hearts, that it rests there, that it is a great desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue to worship by standing, if you are able, to sing, "The Lord is My Salvation."
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.